We did. We did. All right, so good morning, ladies. It has been a beautiful day today, and last night, for those of you that were able to be here, I had so much fun. I feel like that's such a good addition to the conference that we've had for the past 9 years. In that setting of last night, I feel like we can just really fellowship with each other. We can cultivate old friendships and new friendships and without distractions. For me personally, if you've had conversations with me, they're a little scattered, probably for two reasons. One, my brain cells don't quite work like they used to before I had babies. And two, I normally have my children with me, and I am either trying to redirect them or they're interrupting me to ask me questions. And so last night, without that or my long list of to-dos, I was able to just sit and to just be and to just laugh and talk, and we need that. We need the spiritual teaching, but we also need those good, healthy, Christ-like friendships. So my session today is titled Beautifully Broken, and I wish that I could say that I haven't felt this applied to my own life, but that wouldn't be true. Perhaps that will make it more relatable, that you guys will know that I'm coming from a place of understanding throughout the session. And I'm not sure that I'm quite at that beautiful phase just yet, but I'm still hanging on, so we'll say the best is yet to come. In Japan, there is an old tradition that started centuries ago, and it's called kintsugi. It's a Japanese art where they use broken pots or ceramics, and they place them together with lacquer and gold dust. As their philosophy, it treats the process of breakage and repair as part of the history of the object, rather than something to disguise or hide. This is a long process that requires many tools that are beautifully mended with gold at the end. And I can't help but to relate this to our everyday lives, because everyone will experience a moment of brokenness. It is an inevitable part of life. There are many things that can cause us to feel broken, and for some of us, we'll feel broken multiple times throughout our lives. The most challenging part to me isn't the brokenness, although that is very hard, but the most challenging part to me is the repair. Once something breaks me, the damage is done. I can't change it. I can't go back and unbreak it. I am left with the ruin, the pieces, the what ifs, the anger, the bitterness, the deep sorrow, the sleepless nights, the lack of appetite, the confusion, the unknown. I don't get to decide if or when I'm broken. I don't get to decide which piece gets fixed first, or what tools are used to sharpen, to polish the sharp edges that formed from breaking. I can, however, decide how I will handle the mending process. Think about Elisha and Elijah in the Bible. Elisha is plowing in the field, and Elijah simply walks by, throws the mantle on him, and Elisha doesn't know the exact steps of what lies next. He may have an idea. Maybe he was educated in the school of the prophets, but he didn't know what to expect for every day. He stopped plowing, told his family goodbye, and began a new life on the very same day. In that very moment, God didn't make his next steps plain before him. He didn't open up a book and say, okay, follow steps A, B, and C. He didn't show him what lied ahead. He just simply said, follow me. And I know that I'm not alone in this, but I like consistency. I like the familiar. I like the comfortable. But there are points in our lives where we are called to something different that leads us outside of our realm of comfort. Perhaps it's a transition of position and leadership, maybe a relocation, an injury or sickness, losing a loved one, feeling betrayed. Brokenness looks different for different people. And when our pieces are broken or seem to be broken, we don't always know how they're going to be put back together. Think about Esther. She wasn't raised by her parents. She was taken from the one man who did raise her, and then she was entrusted with the huge responsibility of saving an entire people. She didn't sign up for that, but that was her story. She may have felt broken throughout parts of her journey, as many of us could relate, I'm sure. We often talk about the heroic act she performed when going before the king, and it is worthy of repeated discussion, but I can't help to not think about her life up to that point. Can you see where she may have felt broken? She didn't know which piece was going to be placed where, or which sharp edge would be polished next in the mending process, and neither do we. The Bible does give us hope, though. And some of you may know the Prado family from Alameda, California. Several years ago at a conference in Little Rock, Arkansas, Sister Prado spoke during a ladies' session, and she titled her session, Count It All Joy. And she and I have spoken many times regarding that session, and it comes from James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we'll break down that scripture just a little bit. So in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall unexpectedly into those divers temptations, which is, temptations is not just limited to sin, but it's also trials and distresses that challenge our Christian character. And I know that we have all, our Christian character has all been tried at one point or another. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and patience would be persevering endurance and continuance. And then in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And perfect in that sentence is whole and completeness and fully developed. No matter what season of life we find ourselves, or where in the process of being reshaped and molded, we have the ability to count it all as joy. Why are there so many self-help books? Why are there so many influencers on social media showing all the life hacks and the Amazon finds that will change your life? Why are there so many prescriptions being written for those struggling with depression and anxiety? Why are so many marriages crumbling? Why are there so many reported overdoses? I bring out these points because, one, it shows that we are not alone in our struggles, our distresses, or our trials. We aren't abnormal because we're going through them. That's a part of life. And we can view it as brokenness because oftentimes that's exactly how it feels. We're all similar. Each of us has a story. Each of us has struggles. If we're engaged in our local church, we want to be used and we want to serve with excellence. If we're single, we have at some point not wanted to be single. If we're married, we want to be a good spouse. If we have children, we want them to be good citizens and to be saved. If we have a sick family member, we want them healed. If we have busy schedules, we want all the hacks to be successful at all the things. If we're overweight, we want to improve our temples and lose weight. If we overspend each paycheck, we want to be on a budget so that one day we can be a millionaire. Our desires are not very different from the lady sitting next to us. For the most part, we all want to be good Christians and leave a legacy that's worth following. It matters how we view our situations. It matters how we play scenarios over and over again in our mind. It matters if we decide to be taken over by the wave or if we decide to ride it as it comes. When we choose to count it all as joy and seek contentment, in there lies our great gain. That doesn't mean we don't hurt or we don't carry those heavy loads, but it changes the way that those affect us long term. As I'm picking up behind my children for the third time in 15 minutes, I can choose joy and think, I am so grateful that I have a child to clean up after. And I am so thankful that I have the opportunity to be the one to teach them and model for them how to clean up after themselves. As I'm getting ready, getting up early to be on time for work, and I didn't sleep well the night before, and I know my schedule for the day is chaotic, I can choose joy and think, I'm so thankful that I have the opportunity to show my children that they can do hard things. I'm thankful that I have a place of employment where I can be successful and show Christ and make money. You see, we don't always get to choose what breaks us. We don't get to decide how each piece is put back together. We don't get to choose in what order those pieces are placed back. And that one gets me. Because at different times in my life, I have been in a place where I haven't always thought that God knows best, that like he really has me and he really sees me. But at this point in my life, I know that he has me. I know I can trust him. I know that he's not going to let me go. I know that he's faithful. I know that he will walk with me through the shadow of death. I know those things. But I also know that I'm a little bit personality type A, and I have a list. And if he will just, like, okay, this happened, and I don't like that, but if you'll just do this, and then we can do this, and then if you'll add this, and, like, I don't want to go there, so don't do that, but if we do this, then it'll be, like, I can tell you the steps. I can tell you that, like, let's put this piece in first, and then you can do that one, and then it'll hold that one, or, you know, like, I can tell you which pieces to put in where, but I don't get to choose that. We don't get to decide how quickly or how smoothly the pieces are placed, but we can choose our disposition throughout it all. We can choose to count it all as joy and to rest in knowing that he carries us in the palm of his hand. Nothing that we face is outside of his reach. And in the end, the Bible states in Job chapter 23, verse 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." So let's be compassionate to each other, knowing that brokenness happens to everyone, and we don't always know where the other is on the potter's wheel of restoration. Let's remember that people are able to see through you that God took a broken thing and made it even more beautiful. He provided wholeness, and with every piece that is being placed according to his will, we can count it all as joy. And as I look around the room today, I can see all of that gold shine.